As the Forest Service confronts yet another fire season, more and more people are building homes in fire-prone areas, or in what's known as the urban-wildland interface. This boom has compounded the task of wildfire management, and as NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports, it is forcing new questions about whose responsibility it is to protect private property.
Just outside of Glacier National Park's western boundary, miles of blackened lodgepole pine stand in a silent, charred landscape. It's been almost a year since the Moose Fire burned 70,000 acres here, and the air still smells like smoke. But pushing up almost miraculously from the baked, crusty soil in between uprooted stumps and the bones of animals that couldn't escape the flames are morel mushrooms, millions of them.
Virtually tons and tons and tons and tons and tons. And it'll keep doing that all summer.
60-year-old Gary Smith, a retired logger, is one of hundreds of mushroom pickers here who have a different view of fires than most.
It's the best thing that could happen. Because like the people that are up here, most of them are unemployable. Mm-hmm. They're busted up old loggers or they're Asians with no education. And so this is a way to make a living.
The natural cycle of fire provides a cash crop for mushroom pickers like Smith, but is increasingly a financial strain on those trying to stop it. Although this lightning-sparked fire eventually jumped the Flathead River and burned itself out, state and federal agencies spent millions of dollars fighting it. When the fire blew out of control, the Forest Service firefighters pulled out, but local firefighters stayed on to protect property owners. County Attorney Tom Esch is ready to go to court to settle up.
We have sent them a bill. Our bill, we've got documented here, it's $291,000. This is what we want them to pay us. They spent $20 million and didn't save one tree. We spent $291,000 and we saved 40 structures, people's homes.
This dispute is playing out again and again across the West. While the Forest Service could be sued for not doing enough, it's also being scrutinized for doing too much. Congress and the Office of Management and Budget have called for reviews of the cost of fire suppression, and the Moose Fire is just one case study among dozens. What's complicated management of wildfires and put the Forest Service in this quandary is the rapid rise of people living in the wildland-urban interface, whether it's at the borders of Glacier National Park or along Colorado's Front Range. Local governments are loath to put new restrictions on property owners building in fire-prone areas, but are left with the tab when they have to protect them. Pat Durland is a fire prevention and education specialist at the National Interagency Fire Center. He used to be a smoke jumper.
I'm in it for the cultural change. This is like convincing people that it's a good idea to wear seatbelts.
Durland and other wildfire specialists are convinced that homeowner protection starts at the home. Unlike a flood or an avalanche, fire isn't a moving mass on its own. It moves when objects in its path are combustible. The Forest Service and other agencies can't stop people from building in the woods, nor can they stop wildfires from threatening homes. But those homes and immediate surroundings, says Durland, can be made less combustible.
We can't do this alone, and we've got to own up to that and ask for some help. We can't be the hero and the victim, the homeowner, anymore.
2 years ago, homes in Montana's Bitterroot Valley were destroyed by wildfire. Frenchtown, to the north and just outside Missoula, was also threatened. It's a textbook example of a wildland-urban interface. Fire Chief Scott Waldron points out new homes partially hidden in the Ponderosa Pine Forest.
And this right here on the left side, nothing's been done. It's thick. You couldn't walk through that side.
In this subdivision, Sorrel Springs, homeowners were once required to have shake roofs and had to petition a board just to cut a single tree. Waldron has been working to change that mindset.
Here's a construction site for a new home. And look at the thick, overgrown area they're putting this new house in. You know, our role here will be to come up and talk to the homeowners and say, you know, you're building a house, but you're in the middle of a mess that will destroy your house if you don't do some work.
With the help of funding from the National Fire Plan and in cooperation with the Forest Service and homeowners, the Frenchtown Fire District is reducing the wildfire threat to this expanding community. Not only does it make sense, Waldron says, it's also more cost-effective. He spent $30,000 on education to protect 100 homes this past year. Without that work, he'd have to spend $20,000 a day to protect those same homes during a wildfire.
It's a national problem, but the solutions are all local.
Disputes over cost and responsibility of this season's fires are only just beginning, as jurisdictional battles over last summer's fires make their way to court. But where the threat has been felt up close, in the rapidly growing wildland-urban interface, attitudes are beginning to change. And like morel mushrooms, something good may just come from the ashes. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Frenchtown, Montana.